friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is U.S. Open tennis. First round action began Monday in New York at the year's final Grand Slam tournament. The defending men's and women's singles champions are Rafael Nadal of Spain and Sloane Stephens of the United States. World number one Nadal begins his title defense later Monday evening against fellow Spaniard David Ferrer. Nadal told reporters in New York that his strong performances this season, which include a record-extending 11th French Open title, have him feeling very optimistic about successfully defending his U.S. Open crown. And while the tennis spotlight will be on New York for the next couple of weeks, let's look back at Paris, where Rafa won his 17th Grand Slam singles title. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, I begin with some kudos for Nadal. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Rafael Nadal, the Spanish tennis star who won his record-extending 11th French Open singles title over the weekend in Paris. Rafa beat Austria's Dominic Thiem in straight sets 6-4, 6-3, and 6-2 in the men's final. Rafa says his passion for tennis is still very strong.
I am just trying to keep enjoying, and I'm going to keep playing until my body resists and until my happiness still high playing tennis. That change will be the time to do another thing, and I am not worried about this.
Rafa is nicknamed the King of Clay, and he certainly has some great memories of the clay court tournament in France.
Memories are forever, and I have incredible memories of this event, and I don't want to start explaining all the memories that I have because are so long, but since the first time that I came here until today is a love story with this event, not only with the victories, but this is all about the people who is working in the event too. I feel very close to all of them.
Now, you might think winning a tournament 11 times would become just another day at the office, but you'd be wrong, because Rafa was pretty emotional in Paris.
Well, for me, it's difficult to explain because it becomes a little bit natural, no? And yes, it's true that in my career, I achieved much more than what I ever dreamed. Personally, for me, it's amazing and very emotional.
Meanwhile, Dominic Thiem had this to say about Rafa's latest French Open title.
It was a decent match from my side. He was playing very well, I think, and there's a reason why he won 11 times here. It's definitely one of the best things somebody ever achieved in sports.
And let's not forget about Simona Halep's achievement in sports in Paris. Halep won her first Grand Slam singles title, rallying to beat American Sloane Stephens in three sets. Halep talks about holding the trophy.
Well, I kissed it many times, so to be sure that it's going to stay in my heart forever. It's heavy, it's beautiful, and always when I was seeing the pictures with it, I dreamed to have it, to touch it, and now it's a special moment, and I'm really happy that it's mine.
That's Romania's Simona Halep, the 2018 ladies singles champion at the French Open. And while the top-ranked Halep might have special memories of Paris, she has bad memories of the U.S. Open. I'm talking 2018 U.S. Open. Simona Halep, the biggest upset victim on day one of the U.S. Open in New York. Halep fell in straight sets 6-2 and 6-4 to Estonia's Kaia Kanepi on the opening day of action in New York. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. With more on Rafael Nadal and other top players at the U.S. Open, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The players on the men's and women's side spoke at a pre-event media conference, and they all say they're ready for the tournament. Defending U.S. Open champion Rafael Nadal, dubbed the King of Clay, is not too shabby on hard court at the U.S. Open. He won the tournament last year, and before that, he claimed the title in 2010 and 2013. He's played some strong tennis this year, and he says he believes he has the momentum to defend his title.
Last year had been a very special year after a couple of years without 2015 was not a positive year in terms of level of tennis. And 2016 I was playing good tennis, but I got injured. So I have the chance to be back in 2017 and, of course, win on clay, but then win on hard again is something that, means a lot to me, and especially here in New York. Being honest, I always had a great connection with the crowd here. The court, bring me to another level of energy, and that's something that I enjoy.
Rafa enters the tournament as the number one seed along with Roger Federer. Roger lifted the trophy back in 2008 and says he's looking forward to the chance to reclaim the title.
It would mean the world to me. It would mean a lot to me, of course. It's even a bigger of a priority this year, the U.S. Open than it has been last year. Not that it wasn't last year, but Wimbledon was key for me last year. That was where, I wasn't well the year before that. So last year, I really want to be ready for Wimbledon, even skip the French for that. And then obviously not feeling 100% last year was just hard. I knew from the get-go it was not going to be possible for me to win. So everything would have had to fall into place. Guys would have had to retire against me or play their worst match of their life against me. And maybe then I would have had a chance. But later stages of a tournament is not feasible anymore. So also because that fact, because the last 2 years, especially 2 years ago when I couldn't play at all, have just been difficult. I'm really excited and happy to be back here healthy again and feeling good and, take it one match at a time and see what happens.
Former world number one Andy Murray of Great Britain has downplayed his chances of winning this year's tournament as he continues to work his way back from hip surgery. He told reporters he doesn't expect to lift the trophy, but he's happy to be back in competition.
It's just been difficult. It's just been quite stops. Like, my tennis has been a bit kind of stop-starty because, like, after Washington, took a few days off the court and built back up again, and then obviously sort of light practicing last week. But my body feels better than it did a few weeks ago, so that's positive. And just being around these players and practicing with them more and more on a more consistent basis is going to help me improve.
On the women's side, defending U.S. Open champion American Sloane Stephens admitted to feeling the stress of trying to win back-to-back titles.
Well, I've been back about four or five times now, so for me, being here is super cool, obviously, again. But as defending champion, obviously a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, but I'm just going to go out and handle it as best I can. Just try to play my best, obviously. It's a completely new tournament this year, and just got to go out and do your absolute best and see what happens.
Dane Caroline Wozniacki said winning in Australia was the confidence boost she needs to go after the U.S. Open title.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that definitely I wanted to achieve before. I ended my career at some point, so it's amazing to have that under my belt and to say I've won a Grand Slam, and it definitely feels great. I started off the year on a high note.
American Serena Williams is going for her first U.S. Open title since claiming a third in a row in 2014. She was asked by reporters if she feels any pressure as the widely considered favorite of the tournament.
It doesn't matter to me. If anything, I can just continue to strive, and that's what the message that I've been preaching to, women and people, that we face obstacles, and you have to face those obstacles, and whether you get through them or not, there's always another chance to get through them, and you have to continue to work hard and believe in yourself and things don't always go your way, but continue to climb that mountain.
Serena missed the tournament last year because of pregnancy. She gave birth to a baby girl that September. At this year's French Open, Serena wore a cat suit for the tournament that was engineered to prevent blood clots that she experienced during her pregnancy. However, last week, the French Tennis Federation president announced that outfits like the cat suit would not be accepted at the event beginning in 2019. Over the weekend, Serena addressed that ban.
Obviously, the Grand Slams have a right to do what they want to do, but I feel like if and when or if they know that some things are for health reasons, then there's no way that they wouldn't be okay with it. So I think it's fine.
Serena also said she has found other methods to prevent blood clots from forming. The U.S. Open, now underway, continues for the next 2 weeks. The final match will be played on September 9th. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, world number one Simona Halep of Romania was the big upset victim on Monday at the U.S. Open tennis tournament. Halep lost in straight sets 6-2 and 6-4 to Estonian player Kaia Kanepi. Well, not far from New York City, where the U.S. Open tennis tournament is being played, is Paramus, New Jersey. And that's where American golfer Bryson DeChambeau won the Northern Trust Tournament on Sunday. AP reporter Graham Agars tells us more.
Bryson DeChambeau has won the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, posting a comfortable four-shot victory at the Northern Trust Tournament in New Jersey.
I'm a man on a mission right now, you know, with two missions, actually. You know, one being the Ryder Cup, one being the FedEx Cup. So I'm doing pretty well right now and just got to keep moving forward in the right direction.
The 24-year-old DeChambeau fired a final round 69 to finish at 18 under, four clear of the big-hitting Tony Finau. DeChambeau's unconventional game matched up well with the traditional Ridgewood Country Club course, demonstrated by his third round 63. It was DeChambeau's second win for the season.
Under the gun, with the situation, you know, at hand where I was kind of leaking back, showed a lot in regards to my own confidence level and what I can do under the pressure.
I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Ghana's World Boxing Organization super bantamweight champion Isaac Dogbe needed only 2 minutes and 18 seconds to beat Japan's Hidenori Itake over the weekend near the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. Now, Dogbe's nickname is Royal Storm, and he put on a stormy performance. He stormed Itake, putting on a devastating display in defending his WBO title belt for the first time. He knocked down Itake twice before a third flurry of punches prompted the referee to step in. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, watched Dogbe's very impressive performance. Nnamdi says on display was a monster left hook, and he used that monster left hook to put Itake down on the canvas. Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe is now unbeaten in 20 professional fights. And right now, it looks like Royal Storm Isaac Dogbe is the next big boxing star from Africa. On that same fight card in Arizona, Puerto Rican boxer Jose Pedraza dethroned Mexico's Rey Beltran to win the WBO lightweight title. The 29-year-old Pedraza scored a 12-round unanimous decision. Joining us now with some African football and athletics news is reporter Douglas Mpuga.
In athletics, the IAAF has announced the schedule for the 2019 IAAF World Challenge. This is the second-tier series of meetings that will take place in 9 cities in 9 countries on 3 continents. Beginning with the Jamaican International Invitation in Kingston on May 4th, the series then travels to Bragança near Sao Paulo 2 weeks later before crossing the Pacific to Osaka for the Seiko Golden Grand Prix. After a brief break, the series resumes in Europe with stops at some of the most famous competitions on the continent. And in football, Ghana's biggest football clubs, Hearts of Oak and Asante Kotoko, have signed a deal with television broadcaster Star Times. The deal allows Star Times to broadcast the Super 2 matches live across its channels, as well as authorizing them to market the games worldwide, and that's according to the Hearts official website. Hearts and Kotoko are the two most decorated football clubs in Ghana, having won 43 Ghana Premier League titles between them. Kotoko have clinched the trophy 23 times, which is a record, while Hearts have won it 20 times. However, Hearts are the most successful club in the history of the Ghanaian FA Cup, having won the trophy 10 times, while Kotoko have clinched it 9 times.
Thank you, Douglas. That's reporter Douglas Mpuga. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With more African club football news, here's reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Gor Mahia clinched the Kenyan Premier League title with 6 games to go after beating arch rivals AFC Leopards 2-0 in the much-measured derby on Sunday at the Kasarani Stadium. Goals from Boniface Omondi and Bernard Oindek saw the league champions complete a double over their arch rivals, having beaten them 2-1 in the first round. Dylan Kerr is the head coach of Gor Mahia FC.
Come on, you can't play this game and not win the league against your rivals. I mean, we'll never see that in another lifetime. I'll not be here, I'll not be alive if, when that happens again, to win the title against your rivals. It's a dream come true when they've done it.
His opposite number, Rodolfo Zapata, was gracious in defeat.
I think that we play fair half an hour excellent football. We create so many opportunities. We did couple mistakes. And the second half, we create so many opportunities. But there are no excuses. We lost. And I want to congrats Gor Mahia, and I wish them all the best in the international competition.
Staying in East Africa, Kampala Capital City Authority Football, KCCAFC, emerged winners of the inaugural Pilsena Super 8 Cup after defeating Onduparaka FC 2-0 in the final played at the Mutesa 2 Stadium in Wankulukulu on Saturday. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Kenyan runner Kip Yegon Bett, a world championship bronze medalist last year at 800 meters, has tested positive for the blood booster EPO. The 20-year-old Bett already had been suspended 2 weeks ago for evading a doping test. He now faces a 4-year ban from athletics. His positive test for EPO was announced by the Athletics Integrity Unit, which handles doping cases for the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF. Kipyegon Bett is the 4th Kenyan to face doping charges since the start of the year. Meanwhile, the Athletics Integrity Unit says Kenya has its first World Anti-Doping Agency-approved drug testing laboratory. It says the lab in the capital, Nairobi, will be operational in early September. The Athletics Integrity Unit says the lab will be able to perform blood analysis as well as other tests. Previously, blood samples taken from Kenyan athletes had to be flown to South Africa or Europe to be tested at an approved lab within 36 hours. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In women's professional basketball, the Washington Mystics and the top-seeded Seattle Storm both posted victories in the opening games of their best-of-five semifinal series in the WNBA playoffs. In Atlanta, Georgia, the Mystics beat the host Atlanta Dream 87-84. Elena Delladon led the Mystics with 32 points and 13 rebounds. And in the northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington, the Storm held on to beat the visiting Phoenix Mercury 91-87. League Most Valuable Player Breonna Stewart scored 19 of her game-high 28 points in the first half. Stewart was given the MVP trophy before the game. And let's break down how that MVP voting went in balloting by the media. She finished with 372 points in the voting, easily outpacing Liz Cambage of the Dallas Wings, who finished second with 231 points. Elena Delladon of Washington, who I mentioned earlier, finished third in the most valuable player voting. The WNBA playoffs will resume Tuesday night with games in Atlanta and Seattle. Once again, the Washington Mystics and the Seattle Storm lead these best-of-five semifinal series 1-0 after victories on Sunday. The winners of the semifinal series will meet in the WNBA Finals, which also will be best-of-five games. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, first round action began Monday at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. The biggest upset victim on opening day was Simona Halep of Romania. The world's top-ranked women's player fell in straight sets 6-2 and 6-4 to Estonia's Kaia Kanepi. This marks the second year in a row that Halep has lost her opening match at the U.S. Open. She lost last year to Maria Sharapova of Russia. Simona Halep, she does not have good memories of the U.S. Open in New York. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of a smiling WBO Super Bantamweight champion, Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe, smiling after his quick victory over Japan's Hidenori Otake over the weekend. And let's give credit where credit is due. The photo was taken by Mikey Williams of Top Rank Boxing. Mikey was ringside for Royal Storm Dogbe's very impressive victory. And that wraps up the August 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross and a delegation from the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa announced over $1 billion in private sector deals during their recent mission to four sub-Saharan African nations. The Advisory Council members expect to quickly conclude more than $2 billion in additional deals in the coming days. The four-nation visit, which included stops in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, concluded in Ghana, where Secretary Ross signed a memorandum of understanding with the Minister of Finance to deepen the commercial partnership between the two nations. On previous stops, Undersecretary of Commerce Gilbert Kaplan signed a cooperative agreement with the Ethiopian and Kenyan governments. In Ghana, Secretary Ross led the U.S. delegation in meetings with President Nana Akufo-Addo, Vice President Mahmoudou Bawumia, Minister of Trade Alan Karamatin, Minister of Energy Bouaki Agyarko, and Minister of Finance Ken Ofori-Atta. Undersecretary Kaplan led the delegation in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, meeting with heads of state and senior government officials, including Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, President Alassane Ouattara, and Prime Minister Amadou Gon Coulibaly of Cote d'Ivoire, and Ethiopian Minister of Finance Abraham Tekesti. The delegation also met with business leaders and U.S. companies already doing business in those markets. The delegation also met with officials at the African Development Bank to better understand how and where the bank is providing financing throughout the continent. This financing is a key tool for U.S. companies as they seek procurement contracts. Cooperation agreements signed during the trip with Ethiopia, Kenya, and Ghana identify priority projects in key sectors to help achieve long-term growth and development. The cooperation agreements also establish a forum for the governments to address and resolve business climate challenges that limit participation by U.S. companies seeking to invest or do business in the three countries. The United States is making real progress in Africa, and we remain a strong, long-term, and stable partner in the continent's economic development, said Secretary Ross. We are finding solutions to transition aid-based economies to trade-based economies by creating new pathways for mutually beneficial long-term partnerships.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Friends, this is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show.
Our topic week will be African movies.
This is Monday at 7:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, pressure mounts on Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni over the beating and detention of music star Bobby Wine. And we'll discuss the legacy of Kofi Annan on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.